Alrighty, hello again, everyone, and welcome to it, the Daily Daily Caller podcast for the 17th day of July 2019. I am Derek Hunter. I am your host. Thank you for listening. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thanks for all the star reviews and the written reviews on iTunes. I appreciate it. I read them all because I'm horribly, wildly insecure, and you guys write some great stuff. Some funny stuff too, and I appreciate all of it, but it's really nice. Thank you. You're really, literally, honestly, the only advertising that we have, and I can't thank you enough for that. This show, if it ever becomes a success, a smash hit, it will be solely because of you. As always, you can email me, Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at dailycaller.com. Anything you want. Got a lot of emails over the last 24 hours. Haven't had a chance. I've been really slacking. Sorry about that. It's just been a hectic week. And then I'm doing radio on Friday in Washington, Thursday and Friday in Washington, D.C., and again on Monday. So it's only going to get busier. I did take a break today and soaked in the pool again with the kids and the wife. It's a blow-up pool that's about 6 feet around, but maybe a little bit wider now because I can lay around in it. I don't put my head underwater, but I can go without touching the other side. It's nice. It's just nice. We got lots of stuff to talk about. If you want to enter to win one of the signed Kaylee McEnany books, The New American Revolution, you got to email me this week. I guess you got till next week, too. But the sooner you do it, the better off it'll be. Not really, because you're all just dumped in a fishbowl. But it'll make my life easier. Just email me and let me know that's what you want, preferably in the subject line. I'll get to it probably over the weekend and respond to everybody. Let them know that they are entered. But you've got that going for you. And we got a lot of stuff to get to. I just want to address something that I got in an email yesterday from a listener. It was a complaint. It wasn't a totally nasty email or anything. And if you're the guy who wrote it to me, this isn't a personal slight. It was a sentiment expressed by several people that I just want to, I'm not going to read your stuff, but I'm going to use your example as an example of what everybody else said. You thought that I spent too much time on the squad yesterday, the gang of four out there demanding purity of thought. The Cultural Revolution will not be televised. That I shouldn't pay attention to them, and that I shouldn't second-guess the president. First of all, I'll address the second point. I am going to tell you what I think, whether it's popular or not. That's kind of what this show is. It's a discussion of the news of the day, where I give my opinions along with it, along with my experience and my historical knowledge. I am going to disagree with everybody at some point, except me. And then occasionally I'll disagree with me. But for the most part, 96% of the time, I will fully agree with me and support what I say. The President of the United States, I didn't even really criticize him that harshly. I just said that he could have probably worded that tweet a little bit better. And that was too much for some people. Well, I guess the word I'm looking for is tough. It is my opinion. You are free to have yours. I did not tell you to shut up. And I will continue to have mine. There is an unsubscribe button right next to the subscribe button becomes an unsubscribe button. But I would warn you against becoming a snowflake who cannot hear people with whom you disagree even slightly. And that's all it was. So on that front, that's not going to change. That's the purpose of this show. That is what this show is. There are plenty of people out there who are willing to give you exactly what you want, who would never, and I know some of them, they have different opinions than they express publicly, but they know that they can, well, they can find riches by throwing red meat to the choir constantly without any regard for what they truly believe. I have a problem doing that. I can't do that. When I first graduated college, I had two job offers. One was with a lobbying firm that was for hire. It was entry level. I wasn't going to be making any kind of money. And the other was with the Heritage Foundation working in the bookstore. I would have been paid slightly more money. Neither was like $28,000 versus $26,000. But it's 2001. But the lobbying firm was for hire. It was certainly would have made me a lot more money over time. Absolutely. If I'd have stuck with it, if I'd have been like good at it or whatever, I could have made a boatload of money. There's a lot of money in lobbying in Washington, D.C., as you know. I chose the bookstore job at the Heritage Foundation because I couldn't be, I just wouldn't allow myself to be advocating for something I didn't believe in, that I didn't support. So I took the lesser money. It worked out okay in the end, making less money significantly, I'm sure. But I couldn't do it. And I'm not going to do that now. And hell, I'm not even getting paid for this show. So don't ask me, don't tell me to not give my opinion. You sought it out, and I appreciate that. But that's what this show is. It's a resuscitation of the news and then my thoughts and interpretations and expansion on that news and bringing things from other places. I'm the spice rack for the news. The news is the chicken breast, which doesn't have a whole lot of flavor. And then I add some garlic and rosemary and some other things to it to try and make it interesting and give it some context. It's not always going to be great news. It's not always going to be wonderful. Life can't be shits and giggles all the time. So I suggest that you just let it go. As far as not spending so much time on the squad, if you haven't been paying attention, that is the biggest story in the country right now. It's kind of a slow news cycle otherwise yesterday, so it wasn't like we're ignoring other things to focus on this. It was the biggest story everywhere. So that was one day. If you can't handle it, you can skip it. You can fast forward. There's listening to it on double speed. You can come back tomorrow. Or you can just listen and find the jokes and get some humor out of it, whatever it is. But I can't ignore the biggest story of the day just because you don't want to hear about these people. That's not the way this show works. It's not the way any show works, at least any show that works, by the way. That being said, we are going to start off, not going to spend a lot of time on it, but we are going to start off with them. There's a lot of other news going on. Poor Beto. Oh, man. I wonder what the carbon footprint is of the giant pile of money the people who've given Beto O'Rourke over the years is once it was set on fire, because that's essentially what they did. We've got fundraising numbers and polling data, which shows that it's just not a good time to be the illegitimate child of Butthead and Napoleon Dynamite. But we've got to start off with the squad. The House of Representatives voted to condemn the president's tweet. Oh, it was so horrible, that tweet. And the squad, the Gang of Four, are still martyring themselves over a Trump tweet. It's just so awful and so racist. I went to the website Mediaite. And I scrolled down and I couldn't help but notice that the word racist was everywhere. It was literally, I flipped over to CNN for a minute, racist this, racist that. Flipped over to MSNBC, racist this, racist that. I counted up the stories that have the word racist. Now, at this time, it's 2:00 in the morning. At this time, on Mediaite.com, there are 14 stories that have the word racist in the headline. In the headline of the story. So the left is overplaying the hell out of this thing because they're obsessed with race and they think that this is gold for them. And it might be gold for them. I'm just not really sure how well it's going to work out in a general election, which is what it's all about. Another website or another look at it, it was 9 other stories on Mediaite. So there's 14 with racist in the headline. Another 9 were about racism, about the Trump tweet, about they just didn't mention the word race. They implied it in other ways. So it was ridiculous. More than 20 stories. I think the homepage has like 30 stories on it. So a massive amount of media coverage. The Democrats have gone all in and claiming Donald Trump is a racist. The Morning Joe crew, oh, Donald Trump and his racism. I'd like to ask Joe and Mika, if Donald Trump is such a secret Klansman, such an obvious racist now, how come you didn't notice it all those years you were palling around with him? I'd ask everybody on Morning Joe that. When you were going to his parties and having him to yours, when you were palling around with him at charity events and attending his wedding, how did you not notice that he was a racist? Could it possibly be that he isn't? Inartful, perhaps, in his language, but that's it. It doesn't matter. If you use the wrong term, or if you use a term that they can bastardize to make into a racist term, they will do it because they are all about the agenda. It is sickening. It hasn't really worked out all that well for the squad, though, the little gang of four. They sat down. They are out there still alienating their own party because they really are true believers. That's what's scary about this. You can watch politicians all the time, Republicans and Democrats, and listen to them talk about things, and you kind of know you're getting smoke blown up your butt. And many times there's enough smoke blown up your butt that you could get colon cancer from that much smoke being blown up your butt. But in the case of the Gang of Four, it's clear that they really, truly believe this stuff. They believe the world is coming to an end in 12 years if we don't immediately abandon capitalism. They believe that there is systemic oppression, that this country is founded on white supremacy, and you cannot escape it. There is no hope for this country. It has to be remade, fundamentally transformed, in the words of Barack Obama. Of course, if this country is so horribly racist, how did they make it to Congress? I would say that this country isn't even a meritocracy, because there's no way in the world any of these four gutter snipes deserve a place in Congress, but that's neither here nor there. They are there. And don't you love, they sit around and they go, we are duly elected women of color. Oh, and Donald Trump is saying mean things about duly elected women of color. Well, the President of the United States is duly elected, and you're calling for his impeachment every other day for anything you got, and nothing at all. They never really list off the things that they're demanding his impeachment for. He's duly elected, but that doesn't seem to matter. Why let the facts stand in the way of a good victimization? I tell you, the only growth industry in Washington, well, that's not true. Washington is full of growth industries. But the biggest growth industry in Washington is the giant cross-making industry. I don't know who has that contract with the Democratic Party, but they're making a fortune right now because these four gutter snipes are ordering crosses by the dozens so that every day, multiple times a day, they can nail themselves to them because they are the victims. Oh, they're poor victims. Trump's a Nazi. Republicans are racist. They're sexist. They're homophobic. They're Islamophobic. They're xenophobic. They're running concentration camps on the southern border. They're violating human rights. They are just about to commit genocide. This is the first step in totalitarianism. What? You don't like what I said? You only said that because I'm a woman of color. You're a bully. You're a meanie. Listen to, they sat down with Gayle King. Again, they always run to their safe spaces. They're such four strong, serious, independent women. They're examples to all women and girls about what can and cannot be. Look at how strong they are. Yet they never open themselves up to questioning from anybody who isn't fully on their team. As example, they sat down with Gayle King, Oprah's friend, who seemingly only got a job because she's Oprah's friend. That's all I know about Gayle King. Maybe she has a big journalism background, but I know she's Oprah's friend. And when Oprah calls up and gives you a recommendation and you're Les Moonves at CBS, you go, yes, Oprah, what can I do for you? I'll hire your friend. We'll put her on a panel show where she can't do that much damage. And she's now considered a serious journalist. And she was interviewing, if you can call it that, the Gang of Four. And Rashida Tlaib describes the president of the United States as the biggest bully. He's such a meanie. He's a big old bully. Somebody traumatized Rashida Tlaib in her childhood. Somebody probably told her she was ugly in first grade, and she never, ever got over it. And she's been taking out her revenge on everybody else ever since. These people really do love to martyr themselves. Listen to this little snippet from the interview. The full interview is actually going to air today, but like they always do, they released little clips ahead of time. And here's one of them, Rashida Tlaib talking about those mean old bullies.
What did you think when you heard the tweet?
I'm dealing with the biggest bully I've ever had to deal with in my lifetime, and trying to push back on that and trying to do the job that we all have been sent here to do, which is centered around the people at home. This is a distraction.
Do you feel enough Republicans have spoken up against the president?
Absolutely not. I mean, we just held a vote today, and not a single Republican could bring themselves, no matter what their public statement or what their public gesture or public discomfort, they could not bring themselves to have the basic human decency to vote against the statement that the president made on the floor.
What message does that send?
The normalization of it. The fact that it's against our core American values, that they're choosing him over country.
They're choosing him over country, the mean bully. Somebody called her ugly in first grade and she never got over it. Little did they know that they were only looking into the future. I assume first grade she wasn't. But she is now, as a person at least. And, well, whatever. And then you heard AOC there in the middle going, not a single Republican could do, not a single Republican. She can't count. She has four fingers on her hands. You'd think she would know that four Republicans voted with her. You would think Gayle King would know that four Republicans voted for the Democratic resolution. But no, Gayle's Oprah's friend. Gayle doesn't have to know anything. She's Oprah's friend. When you get to vacation with Oprah, when you're Oprah's friend, I assume your allowance is pretty sweet. And then you get a job at CBS, and I assume that paycheck's pretty sweet too. I mean, it ain't Oprah money, but it's still pretty sweet. So knowing what actually happened, and calling out, well, maybe Gayle King didn't want to be called a racist by AOC if she'd said, well, actually, four Republicans voted for it, Congresswoman. AOC would immediately go, well, how could you? You know, I would have expected better when you're attacking a marginalized community, especially four women of color. The Airhead Brigade continued.
Are you speaking to Nancy Pelosi?
Our teams are in communication. Our chiefs are meeting.
But shouldn't it be a face-to-face? I want to know if you are speaking.
She's the new member, not the speaker.
No, but I want to know.
She has every right to sit down with her in any moment, any time, with any of us.
Yeah.
She is Speaker of the House. She can ask for a meeting to sit down with us for clarification. The fact of the knowledge is, and I've done racial justice work in our country for a long time, acknowledge the fact that we are women of color. So when you do single us out, be aware of that and what you're doing, especially because some of us are getting death threats, because some of us are being singled out in many ways because of our backgrounds, because of our experiences and so forth. But I think
Alexandria,
the question
are you interested
be,
in having a conversation face to face with Speaker House Speaker Nancy Pelosi?
Why wouldn't she sit down with her?
Yeah, no, absolutely, and we've reached out to that end.
Especially women of color. Why would you not? No. You know what? Everybody must be treated equally, especially women of color. Everyone must be granted loving and adoring affection from people, especially women of color. You know, when you say, especially when you single out people because of their race, you're then saying that they need different treatment. That's the definition of racism. But Rashida Tlaib doesn't care. Rashida Tlaib is just angry because somebody bullied her in elementary school and said I was ugly. And how did he know? Ribbit, ribbit. I'm not saying she looks like a frog. I'm just saying she looks like a frog. This is the insanity of the left. This is Frankenstein's monster coming home to roost, if you will. But I love the women of color. I wish I had trademarked it. I wish I had trademarked it. I could retire right now on the money that I would get from the Democrats and their constant refrain, marginalized community, especially women of color. outside of the House chamber, AOC was cornered by ABC News, and she was asked about Mitch McConnell. She's just, everybody's a horrible racist. Everybody's awful and condoning racism, 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 racism. And then she throws in a couple of women of color in there for good measure. If women of color were an event at the upcoming Olympics, these members of Congress would sweep the medals podium and be world record holders. No question about it whatsoever.
You tell American citizens to go back to their country, especially when we are sworn citizens and are duly elected by fellow American citizens in the United States. That has everything to do with race, because they have targeted four congresswomen of color who are American citizens with a classic line of white supremacy. And they are trying to pivot and they are trying to excuse it. And frankly, the majority leader is complicit in advancing racism in America if he doesn't even have the backbone to speak out against the most basic line. Honestly, if these members go on the record condoning the president telling women of color to go back to their own country, I invite them to, because we will win the 2020 election and we will take this country back, because we believe in fighting for every American.
We believe in fighting for every American, especially women of color. Yes, you can't keep singling out people by their gender and their race and then say that you're fighting for everybody. It's a little bit different. You're there representing women of color. Ayanna Pressley, just the other day, played it on the show yesterday about how if you're a brown face and you don't want to be a brown voice, shut up. If you're not a black face and you don't want to be a black voice, don't run for Congress. Go to hell. You're an Uncle Tom. But they love the American people. I love we are duly elected by the people of the United States. Whatever she said, it was ridiculous. It was stupid. She's a moron. She thinks that this is the key to winning the 2020 election because it's the key to winning her district. Her primary campaign against Joe Crowley was, I'm Hispanic and he's not. This is a majority Hispanic district. Vote for me. And she got a few thousand votes. It was really a pathetic turnout in the primary. So her entire existence in Congress is based on racial politics, but she's there represented. She's a duly elected member of Congress. She thinks it's the key to winning 2020. So CNN sat down with a group of eight women of non-color. There was one woman of color there, but mostly women of non-color. There was just, you know, a nervous system and blood flowing around in the shape of a human figure because they have no color. And they were desperate to try and get one of them, any of them, all of them, to say anything negative about the president of the United States. It's kind of funny because you're going to hear a debate. It's going to be a vigorous debate, but it is between eight Republican women and one so-called journalist who works for CNN, who is desperate to try to convince these women of non-color that Donald Trump is a racist, and they're not buying it because it's garbage. It's hilarious how desperately she tries. Listen.
How many of you don't think what the president said was racist? Raise your hand.
These eight Republican women from Dallas don't see anything wrong with President Trump telling four Democratic congresswomen to go back where they came from.
He was saying that if they hate America so much, because what we're seeing out of them and hearing out of them, they hate America. If it's so bad, there's a lot of places they can go.
I'm a brown-skinned woman. I am a legal immigrant. I agree with him.
You don't think that's racist to say that?
Not at all.
Actually, I think it's it's a demonstration of how their ideology spills over. Even though they're American now, so to speak, they're not acting American.
I'm glad that the president said what he said, because all they're doing is they're inciting hatred and division, and that's not what our country's about. It's not about that at all,
isn't that what the president does with some of his own comments?
his own racist comments?
But he didn't say anything about color.
We know the president is not racist. He loves people from, you know, Hispanics to black people all across the board.
Let me just share with you the definition of racism from Merriam-Webster Dictionary. Mm-hmm. A belief that race is the primary determinant of human traits and capacities, and that racial differences produce an inherent superiority of a particular race. Based on that definition, do you not think what the president has been saying to these
people? No, he dated a black woman for 2 years. Two of his wives are immigrants. He is not a xenophobic racist.
If the first black billionaire is endorsing President Trump, how can you call him racist?
So these congressmen who said they ran for Congress, ran for office because they explicitly love this country, you're saying that's a lie.
So yes. You're saying
they hate this country.
Yes.
Whoever wrote these questions up, it's clearly that they're very manipulative to accuse as a... instead of extracting the truth.
It's a tactic.
Because when you say, you know, don't you think he's racist? You're accusing us. You're accusing him.
I'm not accusing. I'm asking you what
but
you think.
But you can tell. It's irrelevant. It has nothing to do with the real issue. It has nothing to do with the premise of the issues here.
Exactly.
And whatever someone...
The color of the four.
Why do you keep bringing it up?
Do you think it's just a coincidence that these four congressmen that the president is going after, none of them are white?
Yes, four. I don't think it matters. It's idiotic what they're saying. So it doesn't matter whether they're white, man, woman, brown, yellow, anything.
I wish that there was a white one that they why are they not racist? How come they haven't befriended one of their white female congresswoman colleagues and let her join them?
Because they won't.
That's a good point.
They don't like white people. Come on. They're racist.
How many of you still plan to vote for President Trump?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Randy Kay, CNN, Dallas.
Poor Randy Kay. Hey, you know, you don't have a problem with the president's racist comments? I'm not saying he's racist. I'm just saying he's racist. None of them changed their minds. All of them plan on voting for Donald Trump. CNN limped away from that back into a segment with Anderson Cooper talking about how he just tisked afterwards. Like, oh, man, those racist white people. They're really overplaying their hand here. They are so desperate. Any criticism of AOC, of Rashida Tlaib, of Ilhan Omar, of Ayanna Pressley has been met with them claiming that criticism is because they are a woman, and particularly a woman of color. They have overplayed it. They have beaten that dead horse into the ground. Decades of everything Republicans are doing is racist. If Donald Trump is racist, he's really, really bad at it. He's really terrible at it. He would be trying to destroy the black community like the Democrats have over the last 50 years. But black unemployment is the lowest it's ever been. Hispanic unemployment is the lowest it's ever been. If he's a racist, somebody needs to explain to him how to be a racist because he sucks at it. He's really terrible at it. Yet CNN is trying to convince these women. Oh, you know, don't you understand? Don't you get it? I'm not saying he's racist, but come on, he's racist. Nuts. All right, enough about the Gang of Four. There is a bunch of other news I want to get to, but this story isn't going away anytime soon because the Democrats really think they can get some traction out of it. The fundraising numbers are in, and the top fundraiser for the second quarter of 2019 for Democrats wasn't Joe Biden. It was Pete Buttigieg, shockingly. He raised $24.9 million, and Joe Biden only raised, $22 million. Elizabeth Warren came in third, Bernie Sanders in fourth, $19.2 million and $18 million, respectively. This is, again, another example of the power of the flavor of the month. Pete Buttigieg has been tanking of late, but when he was the flavor of the month, damn, he was raking in the dough. Now, I love this. You think, well, that shows there's a lot of energy on the left. There is a lot of energy on the left. There's always a lot of energy on the left. When people are outraged nonstop, they tend to bring energy with it. Sometimes that energy means people cut checks to candidates. Sometimes that energy on the left means somebody tries to firebomb an ICE facility in Tacoma, Washington. But by the way, I don't think that Gayle King bothered to ask Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez about her words inspiring that attempted terror attack up in Tacoma, Washington, because, again, she's Oprah's friend. She doesn't have to know stuff. So, yeah, Pete Buttigieg raked in a ton of money at the beginning of the last quarter because he was the next great hope of the Democratic Party, might even say the great white hope of the Democratic Party. But then a funny thing happened on the way to the nomination for Pete, the same thing that happened to Beto, and we'll get to Beto in a second. The shooting of a black man by a white police officer, the race politics of the left, went after the gay man that they were celebrating for being gay. Now he's like, well, he might be a racist. He's not, but I just think it's hilarious that they're sort of being held to their own standards by their own angry mob now. Pete Buttigieg has dropped from high double digits up to 20-some percent in some polls down to about 8%. All that money that Buttigieg raised is going to be wasted, just like the tens of millions of dollars that Beto O'Rourke has raised is going to be wasted. He probably won't make it to Iowa. Beto probably won't. But if you look at the numbers here, after Bernie Sanders, Kamala Harris raised only $11 million. And you would think after the debate performance and the $1 million she raised in the next 24 hours and all the hype and media attention that she got, her numbers were not that good. Then, so shockingly, John Delaney, and if you're sitting there scratching your head going, who the hell is John Delaney? He is a Democrat running for Congress. He was on the debate stage night one, didn't say very much. He raised $8 million, came in sixth position. He almost doubled Cory Booker's amount. Cory Booker raised $4.5 million. I'm sorry, Spartacus, it's just not looking good. Then Amy Klobuchar and Beto O'Rourke comes in with $3.6 million, which is a nice, you know, lottery win. But for somebody who was the hope, the presumptive front runner for a long time, to raise $3.6 million is pathetic. It is terrible. And then you get all the way down. I just want to point out that there are a couple. Andrew Yang raised $2.8 million. Andrew Yang, again, you're probably wondering who the hell Andrew Yang is. And Marianne Williamson raised $1.5 million. She's the spiritual guru. I believe she's Oprah's guru. Oprah has not only Gayle King as a best friend on the payroll, but I believe she has a guru on the payroll. Probably a bunch of gurus. Can you pluralize guru? Do they become guru-i? I don't know. But she is Oprah's guru. She raised $1.5 million. And then there are four actual Democrats who have held or do hold elective office who raised less money than the woman who will tell you that what your life needs is more crystals. Coming in below Marianne Williamson is Seth Moulton, congressman from Massachusetts. This is the woman, the guy who Marie Harf, remember her? She was the State Department spokesman during the Obama administration, then became a Fox News contributor. She left Fox News to go work for the Seth Moulton campaign. One of the worst career moves ever. He only raised $1.2 million. Then John Hickenlooper, you would think with that kind of name recognition, he would be raking in the dough. Hickenlooper with $1.1 million and Bill de Blasio with $1.1 million tied Hickenlooper. And then Congressman Tim Ryan from Ohio, who is trying to run as a centrist who can attract blue-collar voters. He comes in with $900,000. Let you know how Democrats aren't at all interested in that. They're going to stick with their race-baiting politics because that's all they know. That's all they have. It beats the hell out of trying to sell their policies. But as far as Beto goes, it's not only bad on the fundraising front. The curtains might be coming down for sweet, sweet Beto. Yes, it's looking like curtains for Beto, but it doesn't have to be curtains for you. It can be blinds. a little bit about today's sponsor, Blinds.com. Look, for many of us, blinds or curtains or whatever, whether they're being pulled down on a political candidate or being pulled down so you can get some sleep, they're an afterthought. Whatever's in your windows is likely there when you moved in. You don't think about them. Right? You don't sit around and go, why, what a lovely window treatment. When they're right, everything in your home looks better, though. It makes everything look better. It makes the room come together. When they're wrong, ugh, you look like a college dorm and you're embarrassed to have people over. When I need new blinds, there's only one place I go, and that's Blinds.com. With 15 million windows covered and over 30,000 five-star customer reviews, Blinds.com is America's number one online retailer for affordable, quality custom window coverings. I'm telling you, keeping the sun out makes sleeping so much better. It helps keep the noise out, and it makes the room look so much better. And it helps with energy, too. You're looking for energy efficiency? If you just moved, whatever you need, they've got you covered at Blinds.com. All you got to do, it's really simple, it's really fast, it's really easy. Plus, every order gets free samples, free shipping, free online design consultation. You can't beat it. You can't screw it up. Even I couldn't screw it up. And I can almost screw up anything. All you got to do is send them pictures of your house, and they send you back custom recommendations from a professional for what would work with your color scheme, your furniture, your specific rooms. They'll even send you free samples to make sure everything looks as good in person as it does online, and every order gets free shipping. And this is the best part. If you accidentally mismeasure or pick the wrong color or whatever, even if it's your mistake, Blinds.com will remake your blinds free. They've really made it easy for you. And for a limited time, we're making it even easier for our listeners, for the listeners of the Daily Caller podcast. Yes, that's you. You get $20 off at Blinds.com when you use the promo code CALLER. Very simple. That's Blinds.com, promo code CALLER for $20 off. Faux wood blinds, cellular shades, roller shades, and more, whatever they got. Blinds.com, promo code CALLER. Rules and restrictions apply, but that's $20 you get to keep in your pocket while making your house not look like a dorm room, by making your house look great. Go to Blinds.com, promo code CALLER now. And we return to Beto. Oh, you know, he was the darling. He was the second coming. He was the one. I swear to God, I'd only heard his name when he was running against Ted Cruz. I didn't have any idea what he sounded like, how he was. I didn't think that race was ever really a race, so I didn't pay any attention to it. I didn't know how weird the guy was. I didn't understand how he spoke and sounded like Napoleon Dynamite had a child with Butthead. Now that I've seen him, I gotta wonder what in the hell the people of Texas were thinking. With like 48% of the vote, that's insane. Well, they're now not the people of Texas. He's losing Texas. That's how bad it is. But with all the money that he's raised and all the media attention that he's gotten, and how he squandered it, is a great example of spiking the football, not even on the 5-yard line, at the 50-yard line. He, remember when the ABC News reporter said, "You're a rock star. You're a total rock star. You can skateboard. You're a rock star. Sign my boobs." He's now polling at 0.0% in New Hampshire. I'm not kidding. 0.0%. 0.0% ahead of Beto O'Rourke in New Hampshire. There's Cory Booker, Spartacus. He's polling, according to a St. Anselm College poll. Cory Booker's pulling in a whopping 1.2%. I'm sorry, Cory, but you're going to have to go back and hang out with your imaginary friend T-Bone. Tulsi Gabbard, congresswoman from Hawaii, 1%. Kirsten Gillibrand, the firebrand from New York. She took Hillary Clinton's seat in the United States Senate and promptly changed every position she ever held when she was in the House of Representatives. She's polling at 0.7%. And Jay Inslee is polling at 0.3%. So with a plus or minus, this is the margin of error for this poll. It's 5.2%. Those people could literally be polling at 0%, all of them. Beto could be polling at minus 5.2%. But he's literally polling at 0.0% for Beto O'Rourke, it wasn't all that long ago that he was well up in the double digits. That means, ladies and gentlemen, right now, as I, your humble host, Derek Hunter, announce my candidacy for the Democratic nomination for president, I am currently, I'm going to send out fundraising emails making this very same point. I am currently tied in polling in New Hampshire with Beto O'Rourke at a solid double donut. Oh, and all those, by the way, the reason it cracks me up that he's wasted so much money and that the left just is throwing money at all of these flavors of the moment, like Buttigieg, is because that money won't be there for the general election. The little old grandma who sent in $100, she might not, that $100 means a lot to her, but she's, you know, been scared to death by the media or believed all the hype, or maybe she's just crazy. She's not going to have money to throw around to multiple candidates. So once they sort of hitch their wagon to a candidate and cut a check, like supporting putting a bumper sticker or a lawn sign is one thing, but actually cutting a check, it's a burden for a lot of people in this country on both sides of the aisle. So once you start sending money to somebody and then they absolutely crap the bed, you are discouraged and disheartened, but you're also, you don't have as much money to throw around. You're going to be hesitant to cut another check. To a senior citizen, $100 is a lot of money. So you held them. A lot of everybody, well, not everybody, but to a lot of people, $100 is a lot of money. You want to give me $100, I'll happily take it. So once you cut that check, you think, well, if I cut this check and then Beto becomes the nominee, then I know that I've done my part. A lot of people can't write 10 $100 checks over the course of a year-long primary challenge. That money, that donor, is now an empty well for the Democrats, for whoever the nominee is, for the party itself. So when I see this money just going up in a big plume of smoke, I absolutely laugh hysterically inside, maniacally, like Dr. Evil did. Like, it's great news. It's hilarious news. Speaking of hilarious news, I'm going to defend Joe Biden here for a second, just from some bad reporting. The Washington Post had a story about sniffy, creepy Uncle Joe, and they framed it completely wrong. It's so pathetic how the media works these days. The tweet that they sent out said, Joe Biden, I'll challenge Donald Trump to Trump to a push-up contest. The headline, Joe Biden, I'll challenge Trump to do push-ups on stage if he makes fun of my age or mental state, which, you're no Jack Palance. If you don't get that reference, you were not an avid Oscars watcher in the 90s. You're not really making the case for your mental stability there, Joe. I'm just saying. But if you read this story by a guy named John Wagner, I assume it was written off the transcript and not actually watching it. And it doesn't get around until late in the story to mention that he was joking. But if you read it, he's very serious. As if the President Donald Trump makes fun of his age or questions his mental state during a debate, Joe Biden has a response at the ready. He'll challenge him to do push-ups on stage. Now, if you're reading this and you haven't seen the clip, you think, that's not making the case, Joe. The former vice president relayed his plans, during an interview on MSNBC's Morning Joe, in which he was pressed on whether he's tough enough to stand up to Donald Trump, given what many saw as his lackluster performance in the first debate. Biden acknowledged that some people could have been left with that impression, but said he had never had trouble taking on anyone before. That led co-host Mika Brzezinski to ask what he would do if Trump raises the issue of Biden's age and mental state. Then they get around to saying the quote, which I'll play for you in a second, and mentioning that he was joking. Now, why do I say that he's joking? Because he says he's joking. It's clear that he's joking. But then he goes on to say something that makes him sound incredibly old anyway, and a little crazy. Let's listen to it for ourselves, shall we?
But what do? You make it to the general, you're on the debate stage. He's lying. He's saying we're doing great. That's his brand. We're stronger than ever. He starts making fun of your age, your mental state. He starts going after you in ways that this is, I mean.
I said, come on, Donald. Come on, man. How many push-ups you want to do here, pal? You know,
right.
I mean, jokingly. You know, come on, run with me, man. It's like I was in a parade in Independence, Missouri, and I always run in parades. It's the way I go back and forth. And this a fellow from Independence who was a Trump supporter said, "Hey, Sleepy Joe," I said, "Come run with me, Jack. Come on, man. Come." No. Look, people. I don't hesitate. I'm not going to get down in the dirt with him. That's the only place he knows how to fight. I'm just going to continue to talk about what he's doing, why it's so damaged to America, and as my mother would say, I'm not going to take any guff from him.
I'm not going to take any guff from you, see? Listen, Mac, I ain't going to take no guff from the likes of you. I'll give you a pounding good. Yeah, you know, his answer was fine, and he was clearly joking about the push-ups. But then he goes, make fun of my age? Why, I will not take such shenanigans. I'm doing swell, guys. Everything's groovy. I'm right down with the kids, am I not? Joe, you're old. We get it. You're 76 years old. It's not the problem. It's that you're not necessarily a sharp 76 years old. That's the problem. You can maybe do push-ups. Can you do math? That's my concern. I don't care how many push-ups a president can do. I care whether or not they can do math. That's a little bit more worrisome to me. But the Washington Post spinning that, it's part of the subtle death by a thousand cuts that the media is trying to put on Joe Biden because they don't want him to be the nominee. The Democratic Party, the modern Democratic Party, led not by Nancy Pelosi but by the Gang of Four, is more interested in which victimhood boxes you can check rather than what you believe, what your experience is, how good of a candidate you are. None of that matters to them. If you're an old white dude like Joe Biden, you have no place in the Democratic Party. And so the Washington Post takes that and buries the fact that he's joking clearly and says as much in the sixth paragraph. Oh, I'm just joking. And says, you know, Joe Biden will say, oh, let's do some push-ups, man. Let's do some push-ups. We'll see how that goes. Oh, well, I didn't realize that running for president was a Mr. Universe contest. But then Joe goes on and says, I ain't going to take your guff. Shaking his fist angrily at the sky. Come on, cloud. I'll take you on right here. Poor Joe. It's just not working out for him. It's not going to be as easy as he thought it would be. By the way, on the mental state issue, Joe Biden has a health care plan. He announced it yesterday, which was the worst day. He announced it actually on Monday, which is the worst day possible to announce anything because that was the day that the media began the obsession over Trump's tweet. It literally got no play. But at an event for the American Association of Retired Persons, ARP, the left-wing organization that gives you discounts on hotels. Oh, here's my money. Go lobby against everything that made this country great. As long as I get a 3% discount off at the Motel 6, I'm good. He introduced his plan. Now, remember, he's the guy who said that Obamacare was a BFD. He was part of the Obama administration that told us repeatedly that Obamacare was settled law and Republicans couldn't change it because it was settled law. Now he's got a plan to change it and to fix it. I thought it was perfect. Well, he's come out against Medicare for All because it would cost people their private health insurance. And in a fit of lack of self-awareness, Joe Biden repeated what Barack Obama repeated ad nauseum and what PolitiFact declared to be the lie of the year. Of course, they waited to declare it lie of the year until 2013 after Barack Obama was never going to be on a ballot again. They didn't declare it a lie of the year. They declared it multiple times to be varying degrees of true, which I detail in my book, until he was done with re-election. Then it was safe to point out the obvious that everybody knew that, well, that this, that you're about to hear Joe Biden when Barack Obama said it was a lie, and when Joe Biden is saying it, it's a lie. It shows perhaps a glitch in Joe's matrix that he doesn't think that repeating this line might not be smart, considering his former employer's, former boss's association with the exact same phrase.
So I leave people the option. If you like your health care plan, your employer-based plan, you can keep it. If, in fact, you have private insurance, you can keep it.
You can almost feel his staff cringing as those words left his mouth, just going, ugh. But Joe ain't going to take no guff from his campaign staff. If you like your plan, you can keep your plan. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. Just everybody's going, oh, no, Joe, don't do that. What are you doing, Joe? Don't do that. Ugh. Meanwhile, and the rest of the Democratic field and the rest of the Democratic Party is still advocating for open borders because they care more about illegal aliens than they do about American citizens. Yet there's another fine story about the sweet, sweet, nourishing, only boon to the economy, sweet illegal alien coming across the border. This one from Los Angeles. The headline, 22 Los Angeles-based MS-13 gang members charged in a series of grisly murders. What? I thought that there was nothing but the best. There's nothing but economic growth flowing across the border. I suppose there is if you're in the coroner business. Fox 11 out in Los Angeles reports federal authorities on Monday announced charges filed against 22 people linked to the MS-13 transnational gang, most of whom allegedly participated in a series of murders, including several slayings in which the victims were hacked to death with machetes in the Los Angeles National Forest. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that great? These are the people that are sneaking in with the people who are sneaking in to some. Most of them, I imagine, are coming here for work. Tough. Doesn't matter. But the Democrats say, no, you cannot. There's no problem with MS-13. There's no gang. And pointing it out, remember when President Trump called MS-13 members monsters and all Democrats went out? He's calling immigrants monsters. You should not call human beings monsters. What the hell do you call? They were lying. They knew exactly that he was referring to. I played the audio 1,000 times on the show. They knew exactly that he was referring to MS-13 members, but they pretended he wasn't and that he was talking about all of them. So therefore, they were defending MS-13 members. What do you call people who chop up people with machetes and throw their body parts into a ravine? You call them future Democratic voters. A 12-count indictment unsealed Monday afternoon alleges that members and associates of the gang murdered 7 people over the last 2 years. The indictment charges gang leaders who allegedly authorized and coordinated the murders. Also charged are gang members who allegedly murdered and attempted to murder rival gang members, those who were perceived to be cooperating with law enforcement, and in one instance, a homeless man who was temporarily living in a park controlled by the gang. God, Los Angeles sounds like a lovely place, doesn't it? The indictment focuses on a particularly violent subset of the gang known as the Fulton Clique, which operates in the San Fernando Valley and has recently seen a flux of young immigrants from Central America. Under the influence of these younger gangsters, younger associates who wanted to become members of MS-13 were, quote, required to kill an MS-13 rival or someone perceived to be averse to MS-13 to be initiated into MS-13, according to the indictments. Isn't that lovely? These are nothing but the best people coming across the southern border. Why, they're new Americans. That's all they are. That's what Democrats call them. It's a sick group of people. They are monsters. This is another part from the indictment. Quote, the victim was dismembered. His body parts were thrown into a canyon after one of the defendants allegedly cut the heart out of the victim's body. I would like to know from the squad or the gang of four or the anybody with a D after their name what they think of that. Do you think that question will ever get asked? What do you call somebody who cuts the heart out of another human being? If monster doesn't come to mind, I don't know what word would.
And then he gives a speech tonight in which he makes it sound like the biggest issue in the United States, the biggest threat is MS-13, a gang nobody that doesn't watch Fox News has ever heard of.
That was, of course, MSNBC host and noted homophobe Joy Reid, progressive and good standing, after the 2018 State of the Union address. Nobody's ever heard of it who doesn't watch Fox News. It still remains the same on MSNBC. This won't be covered by MSNBC because of the 22 sweet, sweet nourishing, or the 22 MS-13 gang members. 17 of them were sweet, sweet nourishing illegal aliens, according to news reports. People who should not have been in this country, who would not be in this country were it not for liberal democratic policies. So congratulations, Democrats, you have even more blood on your hands. Speaking of blood on their hands, somebody is going to be washing their hands pretty vigorously now that they're leaving their job. Yes, that's right. Planned Parenthood has fired their president, Dr. Leanna Wen. She announced that she was the organization announced that she was leaving, according to BuzzFeed News. And this is where it gets really funny, and it shows you that you will never, ever be woke enough. Never, ever. BuzzFeed News reports, two sources told us that when Wen refused to use trans-inclusive language, for example, saying people instead of women, and telling staff that she believed talking about transgender issues would isolate people in the Midwest, she was fired. She was also fired for trying to make Planned Parenthood's focus more on health care than on abortion. Remember, Planned Parenthood constantly tells the American people that 3%, only 3% of their business is abortion. Only 3%. The rest of it is health care for women. Cancer screenings, even though they don't actually do cancer screenings, they just do referrals for cancer screenings. They try to claim that only 3% of their business is on abortion. Well, the doctor who used to be their president, she's only president for about 8 months or so. So she was aborted just before she fully became came to term. Wanted to change that focus and focus actually on some health care. She's a pro-abortion. She's not trying to move Planned Parenthood away from abortion by any stretch of the imagination. But she wasn't pro-abortion enough, and she didn't use trans-inclusive language like saying that men can have abortions too. She didn't want to feed into the insanity because she recognizes that outside of Washington, D.C., New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, maybe Seattle, maybe Boston, that sounds a little crazy outside of the cocktail party circuit. So she's been fired. She released a statement. She says, as a physician and a public health leader, I came to Planned Parenthood to lead a national health care organization that provides essential primary and preventive care to millions of underserved women and families and to advocate for a broad range of policies that affect our patients' health. I believe that the best way to protect abortion care is to be clear that it is not a political issue, but a health care one, and that we can expand support for reproductive rights by finding common ground with the large majority of Americans who understand reproductive health care as the fundamental health care that it is. I am leaving because the new board chairs and I have philosophical differences over the direction of the future of Planned Parenthood. It has been an honor and a privilege to serve alongside dedicated doctors, nurses, clinicians, and staff and volunteers and blah, 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 blah. She was outed because she was trying to change the focus from solely abortion to maybe other aspects of health care. And she wasn't trans-inclusive enough. She'll never be woke enough. Men need abortions, too. Oh, you can't make this stuff up. Nobody would believe you. Nobody would believe you. And they would be right not to believe you because this is insane. Yet this is now the Democratic Party. Only 3% of our job is abortion. The rest of it is everything else. What else? You know, stuff. Just, you know, stuff. It's not a good week for Democrats. Yeah, sure, they got their resolution passed in the House. That was a formality, and it's completely irrelevant. It doesn't even go in Donald Trump's permanent record. Oh, this is going to be in my permanent record. No, nobody cares that something he tweeted was condemned by the House of Representatives. Donald Trump now has Democrats defending racist members of their caucus. Planned Parenthood is in disarray. Joe Biden is using terms from the 40s. And I'm just sitting here laughing hysterically. And I will laugh hysterically into the night as I go to bed now and you go to work or whenever you happen to listen to this. If you want to enter the signed book contest for Kayleigh McEnany's book, email me, Derek@dailycaller.com. Friday's interview is going to be with Molly Hemingway and Carrie Severino about their best-selling book, Justice on Trial. I'll be on the radio in Washington, D.C. Thursday and Friday and Monday from 3 to 6 p.m. This show will continue as always and be back on your device, however you listen to it, tomorrow morning. Thank you for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. Appreciate the hell out of all of it. Have a great Wednesday. It's almost the weekend. We'll see you tomorrow.
I'm dealing with the biggest bully I've ever had to deal with in my lifetime.